This is recorded another day, another podcast. Got a special guest, a special story. I can feel it. It's going to be real inspiring. It's going to be great. It's going to be good, and it's probably going to help you. Make sure y'all follow This Is Recorded on Instagram. Follow on the podcast app, the little purple app on your phone that says podcast if you didn't delete it, and on SoundCloud. So without further ado, please introduce yourself.
Yo, 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 it's Lit. Tay Lit. Also known as Tay the Lit Master. Whatever you want to call me, Tay B to Lit, you know what I mean? I'm everywhere. Tay the Lit, search it on Google. Tay the Lit, search it on Instagram. Tay the Lit, search it on YouTube. I'm everywhere. SoundCloud, my mixtape. You know, shoot Apple phone. I'm everywhere. So, you know, it's Lit everywhere I go, you know. Honestly, I'm a street performer. I'm from Fulton County. I'm a Grady baby. You know, you might hear Young Nudie talking about he's not a Grady baby. You know, or you might hear him, you know, slip up, you know, be a freestyler. So it's what he do. But me, you know, I'm going to spit what I really know, you know, what I who I really am. I'm not ever going to be somebody who lies about who they are. You're not ever going to hear a story about me saying some crazy stuff. You know, honestly, I'm a street performer. I love to dance. I started dancing when I was in college, you know, my freshman year. That ain't really where I started then. That's when I started taking it serious. You know, high school, I was practicing it. You know, nobody knew. I never told nobody. I used to, you know, always say, look at that dancing at, you know, dude. And they'd be like, okay, now people calling me the daddy, you know, dude, you know. So they're just like, okay, flip the switch, you really was that dude. And I ain't really take it serious to now. The only reason, you know, because I used to live in my car, and you know, I was so worried about how having to pay the insurance. I had a job, but the job wasn't enough. Once you get them taxes put them away, it's like, ooh. So, you know, I was just thinking, somebody was just like, my brother, he was like, my name Kobe. He was like, shout out to Kobe. I ain't gonna lie to you. Shout out to Kobe. You know, because I ain't gonna lie to you. Without Kobe, I don't know what I could do. I ain't gonna lie. Without Kobe, I would really be on the side of the street or something. Guys, you know, I lost them on times. I got rough. Kobe used to let me, you know, without permission, let me stay in the room in his dorm where he, you know, it was God. It's God that his roommate left and everything. Because I'm telling you, like, me in that time where I had, like, a situation with these girls, they just on some scam stuff. They, you know, I was hungry for money, and I didn't know where to go. It was just, I tried it. And I got discouraged. I did something with it, and dang, they wanted to fight, and they, you know, slapped me off the face. All that. Like, I don't hit women, so it was just like, dang, you finna take that? And it was just like, it's either get jumped or you get out the building.
That sounds crazy. So where exactly, like, when you were younger, like elementary school, middle school, high school, where were you at? Where were you growing up at?
I was growing up around Rockdale Summer High School. I got taken away in foster care when I was like 4 or 5 years old. Lived in first foster home. They used to beat me up, threw up. So it was crazy, like, it was just crazy stuff. Like, they did, like, they had me traumatized. Like, they used to lock me in a door in the dark. It was crazy stuff, and it was just like, the only outlay was to go to my friend's house when I get off the bus to the time, you know, to go to bedtime. I'm like, and I had nights I wouldn't even sleep. Like, I wouldn't sleep, I wouldn't eat because of that. And it was just like, at the end of the year, it was like, you want to go to a different home? I was like, yep, let's go. I can't do it. And I, you know, the foster home, the next one, she adopted me. honestly, that was the most changing life, you know, it was the most changing life experience. Because it's like, I was bad little kid. I used to do all crazy stuff. I was a bad little kid throwing stuff out the window. All types of dumb, like, just, bruh, like, crazy, throwing rocks at people's cars. It was crazy. Cause I was just a little kid, but, you know, me seeing the stuff, me, you know, being around stuff, just be like, so, whatever. Like, you don't know if you grow up. Like, okay, they really had no patience for me. Like, they really did, you know. Cause they could really just be like, can't adopt this. Like, but, you know, they took me in, I finished school, A's and B's, I was a flying student, always, my spelling test, 100, all of that, all the way, you know, got to 11th grade, I ain't gonna lie, 10th grade, I hit the blunt. Dang, it changed me, cause I never used to like myself at all. I ain't gonna lie to you, I never used to like myself. I hit the blunt, it just, you know, I wasn't addicted to it, nothing like that. But it was just like, okay, find yourself, find who you really are. Like, it's just like, it moved everything in my body, like, find who you are. Like, it's funny to say that, but it's honestly really true. Like, I started dressing different, you know. Yeah, it had a bad effect in the end because I started. Once I got to 11th grade, 10th grade, I was straight when I hit it. I ain't hitting no more, like, because I always a person said no. I was still saying no, like, but I got, like, kind of pressure force type jump. So it was just like, okay, 11th grade came, and I just started doing it more. And then, next thing you know, I had this AP class, AP World History. I was just messing up. And then 12th grade, I had 3.7 each semester. Bro, I'm telling you, that moment, when I did that, that let me know that I can go through anything and get out of the situation with my type of...
With your personality, man. So, that's crazy. Like, it's crazy. That's what I'm saying, is a connection. Because I reached out to somebody before that I know was in the foster home and stuff like that. But I knew her from high school, but she really wasn't ready to tell her story. And like I told you before we got started, I'm not into pushing nobody that, you know, is not ready to talk about that and do that. Because with this podcast, I'm going to change the world. Like, that's just how I feel, and that's what I know in my spirit. And I'm going to get these stories out of everyday people, because everybody want to know the gossip about who's with who, who's with that. Like, let's talk about some stuff that somebody else is going through. Let's inspire them. Let's laugh while we do it. Let's laugh through the pain. Let's get through it. But for you, did you know your parents, who your parents were, or how did that work, like, with foster care?
Okay. So, my mom, Victoria Eberhardt, shout out to her, you know. The reason why, like, got taken away. Let's do a story. It was a boy named Kevonte Deshaun Eberhardt.
That would be you.
Yep. He lived in Bankhead before they knocked it down. And, you know, he was always a cool kid running around, you know, with his friends and everything. Just, yeah, coolly. You know, everybody knew his mom and everything. But everybody knew his mom because his mom was a big-time dope dealer. Now, I didn't know as a little kid, but I knew nothing. I didn't know why I had all the fresh J's. I had every pair of J's that came out. I didn't know why. But I always used to brag. God, you got new pair of J's, you got new J's. I used to brag as a little kid, cause closet fresh, clothes fresh, everything, like, everywhere I go, like, the hood knew. But it got into, you know, my auntie, you know, shout out to Auntie Queen a little bit, you know, she was getting, you know, done up, raped, and, you know, stuff by her, you know, her fiance, like, her dude or whatever, and my mom came through. But almost ripped that dude, throw it out. But she had to take off. The police was coming, and you know who my mom is, exactly. That was back in, you know what I mean? But, like, she got locked up for something, some scamming. And that's crazy, because I'm glad my scam wasn't on no jump like that. Like, I'm glad I didn't have to go to jail and stuff like that, because, you know, it's, you know, I ain't go through with it. I'm glad. But it's crazy, because that's when I got taken away. She got locked up. I got taken away. She was gone for 2 years, she told me. And, you know, honestly, I just recently seen her, like, 2 months ago. You know, because my uncle just passed away. Uncle Bobby Boucher of a Heart. R.P., you know. I know you're out there. You're listening. You know, they brought us together. It brought my family together. But it's crazy to see my auntie and stuff, like, right down Forest Park. Crazy to see my auntie and stuff just, you know, oh my God, Kiki, because that used to be my childhood name. But, you know, my mom was like, don't call him Kiki no more. Something like that, because she knows when I grew out there. But it's just crazy to see all of them all come together, because that had to happen. Like, it's crazy to hear that they really don't mess with each other. They don't like each other, like, type junk. Like, it's crazy. Why? Like, how you got so much, like, and my shit was wrong, like, but I see, like, so much stuff been going on, a lot of stuff. Like, you know, Lil Keith and Lil Goddard, my cousin, you know, like, my real, real cousin, like, Rashid and Samaje, that's their real name, shout out, man. And, you know, it's crazy, because I didn't know that till, like, just recently. And I be chilling with their dad all the time, like, and then Kendall, you know, shout out to Kendall Dreamer, like, and it's crazy because, like, wait until I meet them. We used to hang out with little kids, and I didn't even know that. Wait until I meet them, like, they gonna be like, bruh, it's gonna be crazy. No, it's gonna be emotional, but it's gonna be crazy.
Man, that is nuts, man. So, this all happened, everything happened when you was around 5 that you got taken into foster care?
Yeah, around like 4 and a half.
Did you ever know your dad?
My dad, mom said he got him and his partner. I don't want to say too much. They did some shit and they're in prison.
Yeah, we ain't never doing that. We ain't never doing that, so you talked about earlier, like, you know, you didn't like yourself. What made you not like yourself? Was it the foster care, or was it just, like, personal things? Like, what do you feel like made you not like yourself?
It's because I didn't even think nobody cared about me. It was just on some, like, I knew. It was crazy because, like, so many people was telling me stuff, like, my mom viewed me, my mom was crackhead. All of that, they was just saying all types of stuff. That's why she got locked up. And it's just like, when I finally found out what it was, like, okay, she was scamming. But what I seen she doing, you know, mom doing coke. And it's like, you know, seeing her do it is like, dang, mom, she's, then finding out my brother do it is like, bro, what's wrong? What? And I told her, but she told me I really need the numbs of pain. No, mom, you don't need that. You don't need it. Like, and it's crazy trying to tell you this launches hers. Like, is that what Atlanta's doing? Like, is that what Atlanta's doing now? Like, and it's like, man, that day just, it hurt me, but I'll always love my mama. No matter what. Yes, really. You going through stuff, you couldn't take care of them. But at the end of the day, your mama couldn't take care of her. So, like, I see the pattern. But I don't want that pattern. So, what I want to do, change that generation curse, like, for real.
Yeah, you got to be that first generation millionaire. You know, you got to have that idea. You got plenty of ideas. And it's just like what I learned as I got older. I'm 32. But what I learned as I got older is that it's not really what people, you know, like, it's not really personal when people do things to you when they have kids. stuff like that, and they don't take care of them. Because what's real is this. People are, excuse my French, fucking, and they end up having a kid. That's what ends up happening. Like, all the time, it's not really planned. It ain't, for most people, I think for about, I'm going to go with 90% of people walking the earth, is not really planned like that. Like, nobody's really planned and, like, sat down and, like, hey, I'm going to do this, which is sex, and we're going to have a kid. And then also, when your parents have kids, they carry on the demons of their childhood, which carries on the demons from their parents' childhood, which carries on the demons from their parents' childhood. And we're black. Me and you, so we come from slavery. So we done been and seen a bunch of shit that was bad. And, you know, I'm not big on, like, I don't have any kids, but when I do have kids, I don't want to be, like, big on really whooping them. When they young, they not going to know. Like, hey, don't put your finger in the socket. I'm going to have to pop you, something like that. But as I got older, and when my kid gets older, it's like, hey, I want to tell you, hey, don't do that. That really disappoints me. That does this, that does that. Because I think what explaining to them will be different. And when you treat your kid like an equal, but still knowing that I'm the adult, but when you treat them like an equal and stuff like that, I think they'll respect you more than when you just beat them and then that's it. It's over with. And you know, some people, like, I'd rather get beat than get put on punishment. Because it's like, no, when I take away something you love, that's going to affect you more than if I just punch you and beat on you real quick. And that's wounds from slavery, but that's a whole nother thing. But my main topic and my main point is everybody is carrying on something from somebody's past and somebody or what they went through. So we can't take it as personal when, you know, like, they didn't treat us well. Well, they might treat us better than how they got treated as a kid. We don't really know, but when you love somebody, you love somebody unconditionally. You know what's not right for you, and you can't deal with certain things forever. But when you love somebody, it's not conditional. I love you when you do this, when you do that. No, when you love, you love. There is no terms. There is no contract. There is nothing like that. It ain't business. It's personal. It's love. So I learned as I got older, whatever problems I have with my parents or anybody, I got to understand, like you said, you didn't like yourself. A lot of people walking this earth hate themselves, but they take it out in other ways. They bully, or they talk about you, or they gossip a lot, or they drink, or they smoke, or they just be negative all the time. You know why? Because they can't look themselves in the mirror and like that person they see. They don't like that. They don't like who they see. You know what the drugs do? The drugs numb the pain. You know what the bottle do? The bottle numb the pain. But guess what? You right back to reality. So what all of us got to do is we have to figure out how to permanently fix these things. And this ain't no overnight fix. It ain't going to happen overnight. It's going to happen over time. You know, we got to, you know, make those little victories. If you want to get you an ice cream cone, if you want to, man, whatever makes you listen to a good song, if you want to just take a walk, whatever you got to do, you got to take those steps. Because doing the same thing, staying in that bottle, staying in those drugs, doing whatever, you could do whatever you want, but when it's controlling your life, that's a problem. That's what's called a problem. Something that is controlling you and not controlling it. If you could have a couple drinks, it'd be fine. That's cool.
If it messes up things that you have going in your life,
yeah,
it's a problem.
Yeah, like, if you could hit the blunt a couple times, it'd be cool. Every once in a while, that's you. Whatever you do, whatever your vice is, as long as you control of that and not know, I know what I'm doing. When people tell you they know what they're doing, they don't know what they're doing. They really don't. They bullshitting themselves, man. And it's just like, but for me, I've learned that you have to delete your ego, as in like, yo, man, people, you know, I'm a dancer. People don't notice. They going to know it. When I get big, I ain't going to take care of nobody. I ain't going to care about nobody. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. You can't be. That's ego. When your ego is like, I put out a song. It need to be trending more than this. What's on? That's your ego. When you doing things to get back at people, that's your ego. We got to delete that ego. And that's what I'm doing. And also what I'm learning is when I have a problem with somebody, I know that it's deeper. Like Rick Ross said, deeper than rap. It's deeper than what I think. they most likely 9 times out of 10 have a problem with themselves. So I can't take it personally. And I'm learning whether it's a parent or a friend, a brother. And another thing, everybody in this world could turn their back on you. You got to love you. You say you ain't like yourself. You got to love you.
Yeah, but y'all back then, of course, you got it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, growth and maturation comes with age. And that's only sometimes because there's some people now 70 years old
that's still
going to be the same, still argue over nothing, still think they know everything. They going to die. They going to go to their grave being right. They ain't going to say, yo, man, yo, you know, I might have did something wrong, but you did it too. They going to die being right. And that's sad. We got to end that. We got to stop that, man, especially as black people. We ain't got too much time to be messing around and hating each other and talking about each other and gossiping. We really can't do that, man. We got to grow and build, man. So, like,
we got to break that curse.
Break that
curse. We got to break all these generation curses.
Man, we have to. So, when you got in a good foster home, like, what were some things that, you know, did bring you joy and get you out of that shell? Like, what were some good times you had?
Like, what's some good times I had?
When you got adopted.
There was a lot of bad things going on. I ain't gonna lie. I've been up and down through my life. Like, I'm just now 21, just now steady, settled. Like, I'm just now settled down. Like, I'd say the good time would be like family. That'd be the only good time. Other than that, we run through the house. We get beat to doing stuff we ain't supposed to be doing. I got to the age like 10 when she couldn't beat me no more because I used to buck. I used to take the broomstick, break it in half. I used to take the belt and just throw it in math and just. I used to run. She used to lock me out the house. Oh, don't come back inside. Bang it down the door. It was so much fun. I was just doing, you know, Hillary Brown had the patience to just steady and just be with me through the whole process. Like, I guess she really noticed I started being less and less disrespectful and rude. I didn't know why I was doing it. I ain't gonna lie, as a little kid, once you get to a certain point, you know the person that's your real mother. You know your father, he ain't never been in your life. As a little kid, you just do stuff. You just be like, I don't care. Because you don't really know how to love as a little kid. Once you actually grow out of that, you start to know how to love. Like, I never knew how to love. Honestly, I only loved everybody else. I never knew how to love myself. Like, now that I learned how to love myself, it's like I learned how to share that same love with myself that I should share that same love with others. You know, reading the Bible and having God in my life, finding God was just like, dang, at least that's the only thing to keep me in check, knowing I have somebody up there watching me. Like, somebody up there that's judging me. Like, at least that's the only thing that keeps me. No, it's not the cop. No, it's not. I don't care about no authorities. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't care about no authorities. Because, honestly, I'm going to be myself. Yes, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to be who I want to be. You know, only authority I care about is the one man himself, and that's God. Like, you not him. You don't have no authority over me. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, that's one and foremost. God is the only one who can make things happen in my life. He's the only one who can put things to happen. He's the only one who can push people into my life. He's the only one. If you don't pray, I'm telling you, if you don't keep God close first and everything, you're gonna face the enemy, the devil. You're gonna get right back into the curse. Yeah, some of them blow up from the curse, but that curse, you don't got eternal life, man. You know, you live in this life, yeah, but you don't got an eternal life. Once I blow up, I'm blowing up with God and you know, I ain't gonna lie. Lucifer was the best angel for music. Like, he gonna like me. I ain't gonna lie. But I'm not gonna turn to him. You know, that's what people do. Lucifer starts to like them. And he started pushing stuff in that way. Try to discourage. Like, no, I'm not falling now. I'm not falling. I've been through the demons. There's so much stuff I've been through that it's like, okay, God, you really there for me. It's like, I'm not messing with that. Like, sorry.
Definitely.
I was a little demon. But not no more.
So, like for me, I mean, you know, in this is completely whether you want to answer it or not. Like, like I told you already, and I'll tell you on air, I'm not into no, like, getting people to, you know, say stuff they don't want to talk about, because I'm about freeing somebody. That's all I want to do with the podcast and inspire people. So for a lot of people, and you don't have to stay specific to you, it's just answering the question in general. Do you feel like in foster homes and adoption and all of that, how big is abuse, physically and sexual abuse? Is it both real from what you've seen? I know you talk about
it's real. It's real. It's, I ain't gonna lie, it's real. It's, I don't know what. It's 100% real. I'm sorry, I have to say the F word, but for real, I ain't gonna lie to you, it's not only real in the foster home, living real blood life. Like, my blood cousin named T.A.E. Faith, he's dead now, R.I.P., you know. He got a bachelor of every weed or whatever. And he molested me. Like, and I tried, as a little kid, 3 years old, like, he molested me. I tried, you know, I go to my auntie, though. I mean, my cousin. Go to my cousin, though, like, come on. And she had a dude in there, so it's like, dude was, tell him, you know, get him to go away. And you know what I mean? She told him to go away back in the room. And it's like, I had, during the night, I sleep under the bed because he'd be in the bed trying to do stuff. And then just like, what? Like, then, being a foster care, the cousin, no, her nephew, which is like basically foster cousin, he blackmailed me and make me do stuff. And then just like, you don't go and tell nobody because you just think he gonna, you know, kill you, or you don't know what they can do to you. You know, you little, you know, once you older, yeah, you beat them up and stuff. But once you little, it's like, are they finna kill me when they get out? What's gonna happen? Like, you can't sleep. You're not gonna be able to sleep at night. And just, once I got older, yeah, I went and told my family everything that happened. And it's just like, sheesh, why would it be like that? Like, you know, why people be doing things, mean things? Oh, I want to bring the joy out into the world. Like, that's all I do when I street before. I bring the joy. With the words I'm saying on the track, You know, in my song, times get rough. I had talked about my cousin that did that. But I was like, I'm going to just bless them because God got them. You know, in his hand. You feel me? God's going to handle them. God's going to handle all that. You know, just like I'm on this podcast telling you all this, God is who brought you into my life so I could tell my story. I've been wanting to tell my story, you know.
And that's what I'm saying, like, you know, I want to get those stories out there to free people, to let them know that they ain't on their own. But what I don't want is like, yo, it's going to be so great. Yo, listen to it. Because it's not about that. For me, it's about, man, maybe somebody, like, it's people in different countries. Sometimes I got to promote this more, because sometimes I don't know how people find out about the podcast. But I hope that it reaches the people that it needs to hear. And that's what I believe. It's always going to reach the people that need to hear that. In those stories, man, I'm really sorry that happened to you. I really am. But I also know, man, we all got our own journeys in life, and we can't really question, like, why things happen, I guess. We could just hope to free other people and hope to free ourselves from that pain that we went through. You know, it's just that somebody, even though we have it bad, somebody has it worse. That, like, you know, my aunt used to say, it could be better, it could be worse. And that's, like, the thing of my life. Like, I've exceeded every goal I've ever had for myself. My life right now is a bonus. But it's just, like, for me, it's that, you know, like, let's free some other people. Let's help some other people. Because, man, this life, you never know what it's going to throw you. And you just got to kind of roll with the punches, man. It throws you some shit. And, like, if somebody listen to it right now, be like, damn, I thought I went through something, but I ain't go through that. You didn't go through that.
Right.
He did. You know, so if you listening,
like, when I hear,
what'd you say?
When I hear the different, you know, when I hear everybody's stories, it's like, dang, bro, for real? I had no big time dope deal. Yeah, I used to sell, but that was to get through what I needed to. I needed money. You broke college student when you're college. I'm telling you, nobody wants to hire a college student. I'm not going to lie to you. Nobody wants to hire a college student. You know why? Because y'all don't got no free time. College students in school don't got no free time. That's why nobody likes to hire college students. You know, once you graduated, or if you're taking a
whatever, yeah, they're going to hire you because,
but nobody. Like, I went through that. Like, so it was just like, okay, well, I'm going to do what I need to do so I can get some money. I had a girlfriend at the time, you know what I mean? Her name was Ashley Barthel. She actually showed me true love, how true love really is. Like, but I messed around, broke up with her just because, you know, I didn't want to hurt her, you know? I want to do what I wanted to do. I know I like to flirt. I just like to flirt and have a good time with me. So, you know, I just couldn't do that to her. Like, I was so faithful in the relationship, though. But, I was just like, hey, you know what? I won't break your heart. And, you know, I could think about myself. I could work on myself. Let me break this real quick. Because if I was to get into that relationship, I ain't gonna lie to you, I would not be who I am today. I would be still in school, struggling, stressing, still selling dope. Like, I would still be going the same cycle. And I probably would have went off making babies. Bro, I'm telling you, with a native baby, working as an employee, trying to get money from a baby, wouldn't be able to street perform because I would never found that, you know, street performance. I would never went through living on my car to, you know, get that. So, when God throws things in our life, is honestly the better us to see if we can get through that, see if we can handle our life without working for somebody or listening to somebody. Like, yeah, I got jobs, I work for people, but I barely work for them because I be street performing, making my quad, making more than I would in a day working for them, bro. Waiting for a paycheck for $100 or $200 for 2 weeks. What? No, that's slavery. That's still bringing on slavery. Like, that's really what it is. Like, that's why they try to, white folks try to knock us down. You know, I love white people. I love everybody. It's a lot. But a lot of them try to knock us down. Because going back to them times, a lot of them didn't like us. So they try to knock us down, try to tell us, get off these streets. Do what you know, I hear all types of stuff. People be yelling out their car when I'm in McDonald's. Broke ass, nigga. Blah, blah. Man, you need to go get you a job. I hear, hey, you own some shit? I hear, are you on something? I be like, what? They be like, do you need a pill? I be like, no, what's wrong with you? This is what I love to do. I be hearing all types of stuff. And you be like, you need to get out of here. You need to put on a hat. You need to do this. You need to do that. And it's just like, I'm a dance and do it how I want to do it. I love it. So like, honestly, you telling me all this, but look how much money in my bucket.
Yeah, and, that's go back to them hating themselves. They hate themselves, and everybody is taught the traditional way: go to school, mm-hmm. go to college, get a job, work that job. But they don't talk to you about you know, and it will work for some people, but for other people, the reality is go to school, go to college, get out of college, get in a job you don't like, work for somebody for not enough money that you feel like you worth, then you got to pay debt and bills on top of that. Then you might start a family on top of that, and then you mad and you depressed, and then, you know, you start a cycle of something bad, and you have a kid and you bring them into a bad world. It's just that when people...
But some of us get out of college, they go to college, and, you know, it's not talented enough, so they get out of college, and they do something they love to do for a while, so that they will, when they blow up with what they love to do, they can pay off those debts, they can live financially free, and people are going to look at them different and be like, and honestly, you could easily get a degree on a computer, I'm telling you, like, online degree, so like, but you have to pay back the holds. You know, I got, the only reason I ain't in school right now no more is because I had holds in my account. Like, you know, I wasn't, I'm ADHD and I took medicine. I had to take medicine in school. It made me feel like a zombie. I wasn't eating because of the medicine, you know, and everything. I had sleep medicines, like when they gave me to go to sleep, they put me straight to sleep. I really didn't like that because it was kind of like stark in the deep. And it was like, I don't want it. I don't like it. So I stopped taking it and stopped taking the other pills because it's like, dang, y'all got me on this every day. Changing me is not, I don't like it. And that's another reason I don't like myself, because of the pills. The pills have me depressed. The pills just, I was focused, yeah, and shit, yeah, I wasn't doing, you know, crazy stuff in school, but it had me depressed. I see how my little brother feel right now, like, he taking these pills, nothing like it, bro, but he taking these pills right now, you know, because they say he bad kid, and he do bad things, and he do bad things because of the stuff we go through. The traumas hit us, like, as little kids, like, and, you know, I just have to be there for him and everything. And it's crazy, like, because them pills, like, crazy, like, the government controls you with them pills, like.
I mean, it controls you with a lot of stuff, because when you black, you grow up, you got these scars, you got to deal with the police, you got to deal with other white people, you got to deal with all of these bad things, and then, like, when you get on Section 8, when you get on welfare, when you get on different things, they put you in a mindset of, I'm gonna take care of you. Why would you want to do better? I'm gonna take you right. You got a disability. I'm gonna give you these pills that keep you like a zombie, but we gonna give you money. But the thing is, it's all designed to keep you where they want you at. It's not designed to make you better. Just like prison, how does that make you better when you stay around other people that got other hurtful images in their head and demons in their head? And you around them for 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, the life, 30 years, 20 years, 25 years, you know, and they don't know why you did the things you did to get in there, but you around them and then you get out. You can't even go to school. We talking about school. You can't go to school. You can't vote. You can't do none of these things when you get out. So what I'm going to do? If I sell drugs, what I'm going to do when I get out? If I can't get a job, if I can't do nothing, especially if I have a kid.
Go back to the same southern drug.
Oh no, but jail's supposed to help me. That's what the law tell me. That the jail is gonna help me. It's gonna make me better, right? That's what they tell me. They said, I'm gonna give you these programs that's designed for you to just not be violent in there. You can't do shit with none of that stuff when you come out. You can't do a damn thing when you come out. You just gotta be I did this while I was in jail. I don't give a fuck what you did while you in jail. You a felon. I'm not giving you no job. That's it. You know, and that's why it was a podcast called Earn Your Leisure. I love podcasts, man. Podcasts changed my life. It's a podcast called Earn Your Leisure that recently, I didn't listen to it yet, but it's a dude from New Orleans that was in and out of jail, but now he got in the stock market and he's doing well for himself. That's one thing that you can get into and you can do if you got some money to invest and you kind of smart. because I believe it's geniuses locked behind the walls. It's real smart guys that circumstance and the way they grew up made them the way they are.
Yep, like little baby. Prison made them.
Yeah. I mean, it's just they made them prison the way they are.
It made him because, bro, honestly, when you going in prison, you for drug dealing. I ain't gonna lie, don't put nobody in prison for no drug dealing. Bro, it's how they make their money. Don't put nobody in prison for that. Murdering, killing, and stealing. God said that in the Bible. Yes, lock them up. Stealing, killing, and yes, robbing. Lock them up. Because, bro, like, why are you stealing? Why are you robbing from people? Them people, yes, they belong in there, but dealers, ain't a lot of drug dealers, everything, they have their own business. Honestly.
Yeah, but it's even for that.
And people and the government realized that afterwards. They realized that that's why it's legal in California and all of that, because they're using that much. They're like, okay, y'all can't sell it, but we can. They just flip the switch on us. And it's like, so they try to make sure they can lock as many people up as they can before it get legal everywhere else.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's just like for the drug dealers, it's like, I mean, I feel like life hands you cards, right? And you got to turn them cards into a winning hand. But it's like they doing what they got to do because they drug dealing, they stealing, they doing whatever. It's all, you know, the same pot, whatever. Maybe you murdered somebody on accident. Maybe you didn't mean to do it and you shooting because somebody shooting you. Whatever, I can't judge, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like, what made them be that way? If you gave them a real opportunity to do something better and they chose to keep selling drugs, they chose to keep stealing, if they chose to do that, that's different. But if you give them no way out, but you just lock them up, it ain't, I already know, it's not designed to help nobody. It's just another way of control. And that goes back from slavery and all kind of stuff. It's just another form of control. But it would be totally different if you gave a drug dealer an opportunity. If we say, hey, little baby, we gave you a job paying this, you know, great money. And you can have a nice house over here and do this and do that. That'd be different if you want to keep selling drugs. And they told him not to. Then you get locked up. It's like, okay, boom. We gave you an opportunity. Right,
yeah.
But, like, for somebody, tell me one. Where are you going to work at if you work? Where are you going to live at if you work at McDonald's at full time and they paying you minimum wage? Where can you live at? I don't even know how much minimum wage is, but I know in Georgia, the lowest apartment is probably going for like $700, $600 in Atlanta and like Metro Atlanta. It's going.
And if you don't, for a lot. If you're not Section 8 type, huh?
Exactly. So what. What am I going to do? But when I'm Section 8, it's a great design to help you get on your feet. But they know a lot of people ain't going to get on their feet. They're going to stay there. And they're going to be around other people doing negative things and other people, you know, depressed and other people that mainly hate themselves. They're going to keep you around that environment of people that hate themselves. That's why Section 8, welfare, all that. It's great things to help you, but it's also designed that a lot of people ain't going to get out of that. They're going to stay there. They not going to have that idea. Because that's stupid to stand on the corner to dance.
That's why in the Bible it says, my bad to cut you off, but that's why in the Bible it says money is the root of all evil. Because what they do is they sit there and they put the money into all of these social security benefits. But honestly, Social Security benefits is keeping you with the government. It's keeping you, we're going to keep you locked down. You're not blowing up. You're not doing nothing. Keep you the same like everybody else. You know, that's what jail, we're going to keep you the same with everybody else. We control you. Employees, like, right, honestly, if you're an employee for the government, they're holding you. They're holding you like that. You, like, it's crazy because, like, the government uses money control us, but wouldn't use the money to help us. Like, I hate that.
Man, that's a bar. That's a bar right there. Man, that is the truth. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, if we gave little baby all the opportunities, he could live in a nice home, have a nice car, raise his family, do well. But he chose to still do that. Okay, you get locked up. But that's not the world we live in. We live in a world that's designed for you to fail. We live in a world where a young man, black man, ain't robbing, ain't stealing, ain't killing. He's on the corner dancing, trying to make a way and doing something that you, your brain can't function to do while he's working on his goals and his dreams. You can't think outside your box. You only think one way, which is your way. So you say stuff to him. You discourage him. You could do that. I say all the time, man, like for me, I always want to encourage.
When you know
I,
Hey.
What'd you say?
Hey, and you know what the government just tried to do recently? So, you know, I've been doing this street performing for a year now, right? The government, you know, I come down to Clayco to live. And they, you know, it's only the devil. Every time I pray on it now, they don't mess with me. But they came and gave me a warning talking about some... You can't be out here doing this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all the officers love me. The black officers didn't say nothing. They were sitting there watching me do it. They in the same county, so what you talking about? You talking about some next time you come out here, give you citation. I said, okay. Next thing you know, I said, you know why I'm bucking? Some told me to buck just to see if they're going to do it. And not just to see if they're going to do it, just to see how I overcome it. So... You know, I always do things off of the outcome, not the income. So, honestly, I did it. Outcome, got a citation. Outcome, they threw it out. Outcome, I can be there anytime I want. See?
But everybody told you to go fill out an application. Everybody told you, what are you doing on it? But this is what, that's why I knew this podcast was going to be powerful. I knew you. I could see. I'm a visionary. I could see things in people. I see greatness in people. And I'm like, I just want to give them that encouragement, man, that like when life hands you shit, you turn that shit into a winning hand. You make shit marvelous. You make shit look good because it's like, yo, this world, man, is cruel. Whether you spiritual, whether you believe in God, you don't believe in God, you better believe. Just be a good person. That's it. You don't got to get into religions and this and that.
You're right.
Be a good person. That's it. Because there's some bad people in religion. There's some bad people in drug dealing. There's some bad people everywhere. There's some bad people in everything. But you know what? If you're a good person, despite it all, none of that matters. Why? Oh, you're this? I don't like that. Oh, you vote for this? I don't like that. You live here? I don't like that. You wear your hair this way? I don't like. You dance on the corner? Why? Who cares? Hey, that makes him happy. That's all I care about. Like, yo, like, if that makes you happy, I could not understand. People listen to music, and it's metal music. I'm like, I don't understand it, but they dig it. So, hey, more power to you. Right. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that music gave you life in a dark place. Maybe that music was there in a foster home. Maybe that music was there when things was happening to you. Whatever. I don't know. Maybe you like everything yellow. You wear yellow the rest of your life. I don't care what you do. As long as you happy. That's all I care. Like, and that's what the world needs to be on. But see, like I told you earlier, man, people can't look in that mirror and like the person they see. So you know what they do instead? I hate you. I hate you. I hate this. I hate that. I hate my kids. I hate my mom. I hate my dad. I hate this. But you know who you hate the most? Yourself. And until you love that person, you can't love nobody else. And you cannot be free. You will ever be a slave to your own mind. Your mind is the most powerful thing in the world. They say we only use a small percentage of our brains. But if you use, if you be positive, you might can unlock all of your brain. But when you stuck in this bubble of I hate everything and everybody, you damn sure ain't going to unlock shit. You're going to stay in this little bubble of negativity. But that's why, man, I said I got to speak to this dude. I got to get him out there. I got to get his story out there because I felt something, man. I felt something great. So, man, and I just always like to big up people, like, in your life. Like, the person that you with now and taking care of you, helping you, man, just talk about them right now, the people in your life and that's really helping you and that you're just really thankful for? Talk about them.
Honestly, okay. So I got my high school friend who I knew for going on 8 years now. You know, still great friend to this day, named Drex Johnson. And honestly, he means a lot to me because without him, I wouldn't be nothing. Like, I ain't gonna lie to you. Without him, I still would have been living in my car. Still not living in my car, per se, but yeah, at the same time, because it's like, bro, when I got kicked out, like, not kicked out, it was just like, he was like, you got 30 days, and he taking all my money to pay for the rent. So why you can't just let me stay there and get on my feet? No, you got, so...
Now, who is that that was taking all your money? Like, it was the family, the adoptive family that you was with?
Nah, it was a business owner, like.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's why I said, I got to be my own business owner. He's a black business owner. The black ones, I ain't gonna lie, sometimes will do his worst.
And yo, what you saying right there, and that's what I'm talking about. That's the theme of this podcast. Bro, you hate yourself. You hate yourself. So you're not going to see a young black brother doing his thing. You're going to see maybe yourself. Like, man, I hate this guy. It's sad. And that's why with this podcast, the number one thing I'm going to do is change that for my people, which is black people. I'm going to change that. I'm going to change the way we treat each other, the way we go about mm-hmm. that. When I disagree with my brother, say me and you get into it. I'm not going to go to Instagram. Yeah. I'm not going to go to nothing. I'm just going to be like, you know what? We don't get along, but God bless you. I ain't going to tell nobody. Nobody will know. Nobody will ever put you into... Yeah. That's what we need to start doing. We need to start like, I don't rock with you. I'm going to let you know how I feel. And if you don't change, I'm just going to leave you alone and wish you the best. That's it. It ain't going to be no more we using each other. Even with a black business. Say you open up your own business. What they say about black business, oh, we late. We never have stuff on time. It's overbooked. It's overcrowded. It's not clean. It's not this. Oh, brother, help me out. No, we got to change that. We got to be accountable that, like, yo, if you book somebody two times and you ran out of food, hey, check this out. I'm sorry. We looked at the inventory. It was wrong. But you know what? That's my bad. So the next time you come in, we're going to take 50% off. Or you know what? I'll pay for that meal because I really appreciate you coming.
Yeah, right.
I really appreciate you coming. I appreciate you looking out. Let me do this for you. And when somebody has a business too, as the consumer, don't say, hey, bro, man, let me get a discount, bro. Come. No. I want to pay you extra. You know why? Because you're a black man, and I know how hard it is being a black man or woman doing it. Let me pay you.
Trying to have your own thing.
Let me pay you at least what you asking me for, or if I got it, let me pay you extra, brother. Let me pay you extra.
Okay. Let me doing that all the time. Let me
that's what, like.
I'd be like, bro, you should pay me. I'd be like, nah, because honestly, they be working hard. They be doing their little thing. They, you know, like. Feel the change, you know, to the gas people, you know, gas thing, you know, because I know the tips. Sometimes, you know, the change matters for me, but at the end of the day, don't, because it matters for them also. You know, we got to also care about each other. You know, yeah, they little A-Rabs, with a little gas station, we charge them extra on the candy sometimes. But, hey, shoot, let's give them a little extra change for charging us on the candy, for making that money, to actually open the gas station, because our black people ain't finna open no gas station. Unless you really, really, really are different about that.
And we're going to change that. And in business, we know you can't do everything for free. Everything has a price. But we just going to make things fair. We're going to change this world, man. We gonna change that, man. Now, you talk about your family you live with, that they help you as well, right?
Yeah, I live with my brother, well, college brother. Name is Kobe Austin. You know, I told you about it earlier. I'm thankful for him. But I just go back to what I'm saying, just, you know, because, you know, like I said, from
things went through in, like, college is just, I would have been on the street. I ain't gonna lie. I would have been laying on the street, like nowhere to go, bought off the back in jail. Like, it was just been bad. I'm just, you know, I'm just thankful for him because I needed to be in the A where the connections are, where it's gonna help me instead of somewhere south where I ain't getting no help, like, at all. So it's just like, you know, yeah, I love them. Yeah, love you, bought off, but, you know, y'all, you know, I just got to keep going, keep moving, because got to be different from the rest. And, you know, shoot.
Man, and when you dance, man, like, what's that feeling like of just, like, just freeing yourself and letting yourself go? And, like, when did dance really just get into you and just feel like, man, this is just different and this is what I'm supposed to be doing?
Oh, okay. So I ain't know the dude or nothing, but I first met him in summer college of 2016 when I graduated. Congratulations to me. Graduated from Rockdale County High School. But Valdosta State University in summer, you know, people were like, you about to go back to school right away? People get hurt. I'm like, shoot, it might just be good. I just want to do this. You know, so I had to redeem myself. I'm like, let me go to college. Let me see how this joint really is for the summer so I can see if I want to go for the fall. It's the summer bridge program. Like, it lets you know who can actually go to college. Like, you know, if you didn't pass that summer bridge, that joint was easy, way easier than actual college. But, you know, if you don't pass that, then, you know, you don't go and you're just an employee. But, shoot, I passed that joint. My roommate was a dancer. And we got to the first party, and I watched them turn up and everything, do that, hit them up. Second party, I said, oh, next time, I'm finna do it. Let me see. And I wasn't no dance. Like I said, I ain't focused on dance. I wasn't really no dance. I tried to live in behind closed doors, watch people run. But I wasn't no dancer. So then I actually got on the spotlight, like, hit them folks. Yeah, everybody started going crazy, crazier than they was going crazy for them. Their name is Badger and RTs, and, you know, shout out to them because Badger, he's a big influence in my life because without him, like, being there and me watching him, letting me come dance video, knowing I'm not that good, like, but before, that was before, now I'm fine, but, you like,
what's their Instagram? What's their Instagram so people can check them out, man?
Badger is like, shit, Badger. I don't know how many H's. Artes is ArtesAdore, I think.
You could tell me when we finish, man, and we'll really clean it up. You could check it and clean it up. We'll do it good, man, but... Just so you just started dancing from then, and that just kind of, that's when it really caught you?
You said, yeah, from then, that's when it really did caught me. Like, I was like, oh, I'm about to get better. People used to talk so much trash about me when I was coming up, but I was the only one taking it to the streets and doing something, you know? I was the only person actually dancing everywhere I went. I was the only person, so like, I was a big talk. Hey, you can't even dance, but that dude be dancing anyway. That nigga can't dance. Writing in high school, but I wasn't really taking it serious. Like I said, I wasn't really taking dancing, but I was an athlete. I was into football. I was doing football. I played football middle school, primary middle school. Played baseball at Brewers, on the Brewers, Team Brewers, in Rockdale County High School, at the little soccer complex. I played men's volleyball, won the state championship, Rockdale County High School, beat the team that nobody could beat. Yes, I had play time. I was the motivation for the team, honestly and truly. Like, I ain't gonna lie, they put me on the court, and I started hyping everybody up. And as a team,
and they actually work. And then, shoot, I played basketball throughout, it was played basketball, but I didn't take it serious. I wasn't I'm going to go to the NBA. I played hockey. Play a lot of stuff. I play soccer. But dancing is really the competition, the sport I need to be doing, and music, all that. You know, that's what I love.
Man, that's amazing. So your spirit is just great, and your energy is great, and you just seem like a positive person. Like, growing up from being young and going through that, being around drugs, being around different stuff, from being around, you know, what you went through with family, bad things. Like, what do you feel like just kept you, positive, or what was your happy place in those dark times?
No lie, talking to myself. Either talking to myself or listening to music, making music, writing poetry. Oh, there you go. It was writing poetry. That was the biggest one. That was a big time. Writing, writing poetry, it was just, I think it expressed my feelings onto that page with the poems I write, I even had a poem where I say I ain't like myself. It was deep though. I'm mad on God, all of that. That's the devil, but it's okay. It was just huge. I had a poem where I was telling how I go behind, I used to get bullied. So I was just saying, how things was going. I don't know why. Just escape for me. Just escape. I used to go on, sometimes, I ain't gonna lie, I used to cry myself to sleep at night. A lot of people be like, why you had light on all the time? I used to get shut down in dark doors. Dark rooms. Of course, I'm not gonna be in no dark, because that's when the demons come out. Going through stuff is just the only escape. Music, writing it, dancing, doing something I love, talking to God, talking to my friends. It just, honestly, it's not going to drugs. Going to drugs really be worse. It do damage. Really do damage. It just numbs you at the moment. And then it honestly loses. You lose people.
Yeah, it's just, it's bad, especially when you see it, too.
I ain't gonna lie, it's not bad, but it's the chemicals, it's the things we put in it afterwards, is what they, if you add other stuff into it, that's when it's bad, and that's when it's gonna change the person for the bad.
And with it being legal now, too, is gonna be crazy, because it's now with it being legal, that mean they got to make more of it. So that mean they going to put extra stuff in it. And that mean it ain't really going to be truly from the earth or from a grow house. It's going to be chemically made so it can be made faster. And then you don't know what you smoking. At the end of the day, you ain't smoking good stuff from the earth. You smoking whatever they put into it. That's what
you end up smoking. You eat, but it's not good.
It's gonna be really, man, bad for you, man. So, man, I'm about to wrap it up the podcast, but I got two things I'm gonna do before we end. But one, I just want to say, man, for somebody that's listening, man, that's having a rough time at life, no matter what they're going through, maybe they're not going through what you're going through. What do you say to that person right now?
Keep going. Just keep pushing through it. Push through it. Don't worry. Don't compare yourself to nobody. Push through what you're going through. You know what I mean? And honestly, think about it as, shoot, I'm going through this, but I could have been going through that. I think about them going through, somebody else going through worse. And just think about, take your what you're going through and ball it up in your hand and throw it. Just throw it as far as you can. And just
think about it as a little piece of paper you threw away that was, hey, had some school words on it, some math on it that you're never going to use or something like that. Just think of it that, like that, you know? But think of it as knowing that you knew what that was. You still knew what the 1+1 is. You still knew what 2+4 is. Like, just stick in, smile, make other people smile. Because once you make other people happy, you're going to feel happy about yourself. That's all I got to say.
And that's what it is, man. I'm telling you, man. You got to love yourself. Because I really feel like I've been doing a lot of, like, just observation and, like, noticing other people. And what I notice about a lot of people, man, they don't love it. I've been saying this whole pot. They don't love themselves, man. Hey, wrap your arms around yourself, man. Just, like, yo, cry. Go for a walk. Do whatever you got to do. Let it out and let it go. Just let it go, man. Because it's either you're going to be woe is me. You're going to be, you know, hey, my life. But somebody got it worse. So what you going to do? What you should do is, just, hey, man, look in the mirror. Whatever it is you got to do. I don't know the answers. When I realized I knew everything is when I realized I didn't know shit. I don't know nothing. Yo.
You know what's crazy?
What's that?
For the people who think this dancing is all just normal and easy, it's not. Honestly, I'm working with a knee that's been messed up for years and another knee that's, I'm God rebuking it, that's trying to mess up on me. But, you know, I'm going through these things not because I did this. It's because of childhood things I did. But I'm still pushing. I don't care. If I got to cut off that leg and still do what I need to do, I'm going to do it. Like, that's what it says in the Bible. If you got to take out an eye because you're not doing good with that left eye, take it out so you can do good. Like, doesn't matter. I'm going to still push on hard and harder and harder. Like,
man, hey, that's what it is. Yeah.
4 hours a day out there. Like,
man, that's what it is, man. Just motivate, man. Whatever that crazy idea is, it, like, your mind gonna hold you back. So if you have a crazy idea, I mean, maybe it ain't crazy. It's just that you scared to put it out there. Try it. You never know. Everybody that's successful, somebody told them they wasn't shit. You know what Jay-Z uncle said? You'll never be LL Cool J. You know, Beyonce, Paul Wall said one time Beyonce Destiny Child was performing at home in Houston at a big concert and they was getting booed. People wasn't fucking with them.
Hey.
And Paul Wall was like, damn, like they from here and y'all ain't even giving them a chance. Everybody you know that's successful then got told they wasn't shit. They've been fired from jobs. They've been homeless. They've been on drugs. They've been this. They've been that. But they kept going, man. And that's what you got to keep doing, King. You got to keep going. And lastly, what I want to do is I do a thing called speaking into existence. Right now, maybe 5 years from now or whatever you want in your life, let's speak it to existence right now. Go ahead.
A year from now, maybe in less, 2 years, 3 years, how many? I just know that I'm going to have my desires, what I want. I'm going to have big groups of people, you know, honoring me for bringing the world together. And as they know Jesus, they're going to know me. And I'm going to be a powerful person, best dancer, best music. That studio for everybody. Not just for me, but for everybody. That's it.
Man, that's beautiful, man. I thank you. I appreciate you, man. And what's your social media? I'll put it in the comments, in the description. But what's your social media? How can they find you? Any way they can find you? What do they have to do?
Tay B Lit. T-A-Y, the letter B, L-I-T. No spacing, nothing. You on YouTube, it'll probably be like T-A-Y space B-Lit, but honestly, it's not. You search up anywhere, it's T-A-Y, letter B-L-I-T. I'm telling you. It'll come out the same way each time. So, you know, search it up everywhere. On all your music platforms, search it up. Dude. Hey. Thank y'all. Thank everybody for listening.
Man, and that man... I just really...
Thank all my fans that support me.
Man, I really appreciate you, man. Everybody go check him out everywhere, man. Seriously, and this is recorded.